You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of our journey into the podcast world. Tonight's show is going to be extra special. We hope you enjoy it. Only special in that every show is special. So this is just another one of those special shows that we're bringing to you three times a week here in the podcast universe. But I'm not alone here, ladies and gentlemen. I am pleased to announce the presence of my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard.
I am not your host, Brent Thomas. I'm his sidekick.
You are the sidekick. Let's try that out.
No, let's not. Happy to be here. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm just really excited to you know, do the shows whenever we're able to, and it's wonderful when you're able to join me because it just adds another element. It's one thing to sit and speak into a microphone, but it's another when you've got a friend here,
right,
and you can talk and have discussions, yeah, and share ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a sounding board. Yeah. So at the very least, but you know, and then of course what you bring to the table is always good as well. So
you mean like food to
the, well, table? That always helps too, like when you do racks of ribs and stuff. That always...
I'll remember that in the days coming.
Yeah, exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is going to be about alien abductions. And this is a phenomena that's been going on for pretty much ever, I think. But, of course, it was probably brought to the limelight back in the 50s by two people who were abducted named Barney and Betty Hill. Don, you're real familiar with this, right?
You, well, I've got some traction there, yeah.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, Don is definitely always been an enthusiast of the UFOs, probably more than any of the other phenomena. It's just been something he's been following for years and years. Mm-hmm. But this case is really bizarre. First of all, you know, I think it's probably best to look into why the hell do they need to go billions of light years, millions of light years, whatever, however they're getting here, if they are indeed from other parts of the galaxy and flying over, you know, or other dimensions or inside the Earth or whatever, why do they need to pick people up and experiment? You know, what are your thoughts on that, Don?
Well, I've looked at several, you know, abductions, of course. You know, you got Betty and Barney Hill, you got Travis Walton, you know, you've got just a whole bunch. I mean, there's some that we don't even hear about, you know, that we dig through, like the one I read from Idaho, like 3 weeks ago, I was looking at reading that one. And, that wasn't an abduction. I apologize, but you know, it really begs the question, what are they looking for? You know, mm-hmm. You know, and why aren't they doing the same type of experiments that they seem to be on cows? You know,
right. Yeah.
You know, why are they not as violent or intrusive as as say that. I mean, if they don't care about, you know, our well-being, what's the point in returning us with our minds wiped or whatever? That here, look into this thing here.
Yeah. Don't mind the flash.
Yeah, don't mind the flash. It's okay. But, you know, I mean, what is the point of taking us, coming, as you said, that far away? Mm-hmm. And I believe Zeta Reticula was like 12 parsecs, which is 39 light years, specifically regarding Betty and Barney Hill. And taking them up and doing the experiments and then putting them back in their car and driving away, you know, yeah. You know, what was the point? You know, right. What is the point? Are they looking at our anatomy? Are they trying to find, complementary DNA? Did they run out of gas and just needed something to do? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that may be, you know, and, especially when you're talking about, the Travis Walton, you're like, well, what was the point? 'Cause I've never really heard any point of that one either.
Right.
You know, but we know that they're really famous. Those are the really, really famous ones. The ones that really jump to mind when you talk about this kind of stuff. And, yeah. What are they looking for? What's the point?
It's got to be biologically related though, right? Because there seems to be a correlation between abduction and Rh negative factor blood, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it has to be something to do with the biology that there's value for them in the Rh negative factors. And mm-hmm. what is that?
Right.
You know,
I don't know. Maybe it's just, maybe it has something to do with our ancient, quote unquote, ancient alien history. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're looking for a specific gene. I mean, this is just, you know, spitballing here.
Sure.
Maybe they're looking for a specific gene that was lost to them from maybe their ancestors that came to Earth and maybe seeded, you know, the Earth. And they need this specific strand of DNA, kind of like MIMSY.
MIMSY?
Yeah, MIMSY. What was the name of that movie?
I don't know.
Well, it was called the Great MIMSY or something. I forgot. But anyhow, but they were time travelers. But okay. They were looking for the DNA of this one specific person. So they sent this doll back in time to collect this DNA from one specific person. And when they found it, their culture in the future flourished again and came alive and was basically reincarnated, the whole culture, the whole thing.
Reinvigorated or reincarnated?
Well, reinvigorated. Okay. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, just they were dying and they found it and they just flourished. So maybe that's kind of what they might be looking for. You know, they're looking for one specific gene or one strand of DNA that, you know, holds the secret to their survival.
Sure.
You know?
You know what it occurred to me is that, you know, we've heard from many sources and, you know, both academic, you know, we've heard from enthusiasts, from people that claim to be abductees, mm-hmm. The history about the genetic modification that went on in the ancient past mm-hmm. with the Anunnaki and such. And, you know, that's apparently recorded in cuneiform on the tablets in ancient Sumeria. Now, what if what they're looking for is something having to do with that genetic line directly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what if they're looking for you? I think you hit something really important there when you say that. But what if they're looking for, like, so if they based our genetics on their genetics, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but they put in safeguards so that, you know, we wouldn't get as smart, right. You know, because if we were developed as a slave race, let's just entertain that idea for a moment.
Sure.
We're created as a slave race, but we were kind of dumbed down. We were not allowed to use the full capacity of our brain. Like, there's got to be a reason we're using only 15% of what's going on up in our skulls. You know, we have only the capacity, allegedly, in most cases anyway, to use, you know, 10 to 15% of our brain, some more, some less. But, you know, it's always in that ballpark.
Right.
So what if they're looking at, you know, genetic samples mm-hmm. to see if that is breaking down and if we're going to, you know, perhaps progress to our full capacity?
Yeah. Maybe they're looking for that key.
Maybe they're looking for that key, or maybe they're making sure that that key doesn't get activated. You know, maybe they don't want us smart. You know, I mean, clearly human beings haven't done a bang up job or anything with our social structures and relationships. But, you know, I think there's a lot of wonderful, amazing people. But there's also a lot of knuckleheads out there, too. You know, hey, well, let's shoot it. You know, I mean, that's like the first response they have. Hey, I've never seen one of those before. Shoot it. You know. So, you know, there's a lot of those kind of people around as well. And maybe they're like, oh, hell no, we got to keep that shut off. You know, just a thought. And it's a little tongue in cheek, but it's a little serious, though, too, because what if, you know, all of us knuckle draggers finally got, you know, like super genius IQs and could, you know, bend space and time, and you know, what kind of havoc would we wild up then, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
So I don't know. It's curious, but the thing that keeps happening is that people keep reporting they've been abducted. Mm-hmm. And it's gone on, you know, I mean, there's several forms of this too, right, Don? So when I'm thinking of abduction, I think of people witnessing these things firsthand, people having these weird dreams, very lucid dreams where they're meeting these creatures. Right. And then the people that, you know, claim that they're not sure what happened, but they're sure something happened.
Right. Right.
So there's all this variety of what falls under quote unquote abduction. And I, you know, I think that, I don't know if I'm convinced that all of those qualify as abduction. I think if you see a ship land and you get sucked up into it, you know, then you can probably, you're going for a ride. But if you're just having a really crazy dream and you wake up and go, wow, that was really real. I wonder if it was really real. Mm-hmm. Then maybe not. I don't know. I mean, because of course people come back with the memory wipe. But now in Betty and Barney Hill's case, let's unpack that just a little bit. They know they saw this craft. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no question in their minds that they had seen this craft. They saw it descending and they saw it coming towards them. Mm-hmm. Apparently a flash of light, and then boom, it's 3 hours later and, you know, something weird happened. Not quite sure. Enter the regression hypnosis, which kind of reveals the whole scope of what they were subjected to. Mm-hmm. But it started very, very realistically. Like, they were driving home and they saw this weird ball of light, and then, you know, and then it progressed. Now, those to me are very credible. I mean, you know, granted, you got to screen the people for just fabrication of a complete story, but I think the ones that start that way tend to be, to me, and I'm not casting any aspersions or disparaging anybody. If you believe something happened to you, right, you know, my heart goes out to you, and I hope you get to the bottom of it, because that's got to be a fresh kind of hell to live with. But, you know, if you start out seeing a craft, then boom, you know, maybe really that's a great indication that something really did happen. If you fall asleep and just have a wild dream, well, it's really so much harder to quantify.
Right.
You know, it's hard to quantify. Like, I've, in my dreams, I've met my dead father a couple times. I met a dead cousin. I met, you know, all these dead people that were dear to me in life have come. My grandmother have come to me and revealed themselves through dreams. And I don't ever remember my dreams, but these dreams are incredibly powerful and incredibly lucid. And, you know, what they shared with me in the dreams was very, very cathartic and potent, and it had a message. So I believe those are real experiences.
Right.
However, I've also had really vivid dreams where I've been flying and, you know, had superpowers and stuff. And
right.
And it's harder for me to say, well, that was real too.
Right.
You know, but I, you know what I mean, Don?
I do. Because, you know, one of my favorite dreams ever, and one of my favorite reoccurring dreams was a flying dream.
Right.
And I would just, I love that dream. Mm-hmm. There was one that I remember that I couldn't quite get away from, but I found a solution. You know, so I think a lot of dreams are indicative of what you're going through at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's showing you a way to work around or get to the bottom of. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm out flying. I know I'm not, you know, Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the giant King Kong chasing me through town, you know, that reoccurring.
Have you
dream.
Had that one?
Not lately.
No, been, I mean, you really been, have though?
Oh,
in
yeah,
your past?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
when I was
God,
a kid,
that's
got to
be horrible.
King, that was like, so that was like, you know, my horror dream. That was the one that always scared me.
Right. Wow.
You know, so, you know, but, you know, was King Kong ever chasing me through? No.
No.
I've never had a dream where I've been abducted or anything that I can recall. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been all pretty standard, you know, scary kid dreams, you know, and,
sure.
and, you know, fantastical kid dreams as I was growing up, you know, and, mm-hmm. And I, like I said, as an adult, I don't recall ever, you know, waking up with a pain in my butt, you know, so,
you don't feel like you've been probed anytime recently?
No,
checking. Cause that's an important thing to look for. I think.
So, you know, I mean, dreams are great for, I think, problem solving.
Sure.
But I don't know how that would correlate with alien abduction, other than you have these dreams, fragments of dreams, mm-hmm. that may point to something more, serious going on. You know,
right.
I think they just speak to where you are at the time.
Right.
And then, you know, where you can be after you get through them. So, I don't believe necessarily dreams are, you know, the way to bring out an abduction.
Right. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're not saying that those couldn't also be abductions, but just coming at it from the outside looking in,
yeah,
it's harder to get your head around those because, you know, well, how did it, they don't have any physical marks or anything in most cases. They just swear they've been abducted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, could it be just the mind processing stuff? Yeah, it could be. Could it be real? It could be. I don't know, but I'm just speaking in very generality, in huge generalities,
right. Yeah.
Throughout this dialogue. But, you know, when it starts out with seeing craft and boom, you have lost time and something happened, you don't know what, you go to the hypnosis and, you know, uncover all the missing time. And then you go to, well, I was asleep in my bed and I had this really crazy dream. Well, maybe those are real, but maybe they're not. They seem to be miles apart as far as the type of phenomena to me personally. Right. Could they both be extraterrestrial? Could perhaps some alien contact not be physical? Could it all be telepathic or through dreams? Sure, it could. And, you know, that may be kind of what's going on in those situations. But, you know, it's just it's impossible to use that as evidence of alien contact.
Right.
Because it's so subjective. And so those are tougher to quantify. But then there's the third kind that's just, well, my cat looks at me funny and, you know, I saw gray in my closet.
Right.
And, you know, that whole really disjointed kind of abduction scenario where it doesn't seem to have any logical flow to it at all. The people claim that they're awake, but, you know, are they suffering from some other kind of ailments?
Right.
And, you know, you've got to at least consider those things, ladies and gentlemen, when you're talking about anything paranormal. Is the person suffering from some form of mental illness or something to that effect?
Right.
But, you know, and I'm sure that anybody at MUFON would certainly look into that as well when, you know, investigating this kind of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, there are people, Don, that claim they weren't pregnant, had an abduction, were pregnant,
right,
and then carried the baby for a while and then weren't pregnant again.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, those are the weird ones. And again, that's what leads me to think, you know, are they really examining our genetic sequences to such a degree that they're creating these hybrids and stuff? So, those are another kind of curiosity, I guess. But what do they want, ladies and gentlemen? Well, we don't know. We don't know, but it definitely seems to revolve around our biology. There seems to be something in tune with the biology. Because, again, Rh negative factor in the blood is a big commonality in most abductees. That's a huge thing. And we'll get into more of that, but so Betty and Barney Hill, you had touched on this quickly, Don, but I'd like you to go into a little more detail about this, because I think if, you know, there's several things that came out of their situation that were incredibly powerful. And, you know, in some of that is still unsolved mystery territory, even with today's modern technologies. But you mentioned Zeta Reticuli. Now, how do we know that that's what she was, where they came from?
Well, so...
In the story, just for the listeners, if they're not familiar.
The summation of the story is basically they were coming home from a vacation they had taken, and they were driving down a road, and they, like you said, you know, they saw this light in the sky. It came towards them. They had car problems. They pulled over. They looked up, and they saw a craft, and in the craft, they thought they it was reported that they saw beings in the craft, like when you look in an airplane window. You know, something like that. And then they were, the beings came out, escorted them back onto the UFO, the ship, whatever that is.
Sure.
And that's when they experienced their time loss. And then like 3 or 4 hours later, they're back on their way heading home to finish their trip, their holiday, their vacation. Mm-hmm. And then later on down the road, I don't remember. I think so this happened actually in like September of 61.
Okay.
In November, she started having dreams, 10 days after. Okay. She started having these vivid dreams. She had them for successive nights, and then, you know, they stopped, and then they'd return and stop and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's reported that in her dreams, she remembers her and Barney and the men that came out walking up into the UFO. They were separated. Betty was separated from Barney, and they went to different examination rooms. And in the dreams, she said that they had examined her feet. They took clippings of her fingernails. You know, they just kind of did this, physical, they did a physical on her. And then it does say that she, like a letter opener, they use something like a letter opener, like a dull knife to scrape skin into, something. She said it was like cellophane type stuff. Mm-hmm. They also used needles to probe her through her navel. Testing the nervous system and things like that, or that's what she, you know, reports. And then, so when all this happens, they get them out, they bring them back together, and Betty looks over, they're on the ship, her and Barney are back together, and they're being let off the ship. The head, supposedly the head, excuse me, the head examiner, was watching her, and Betty noticed some books. Well, you know, she asked if she could keep one of the books. I don't remember if she ever mentioned what the book was about or anything like that. I don't believe so. But originally she was told she can keep it. And then the captain of the ship, who we assume is the captain, said, no, no, no. And so those two, beings had a conversation. She ended up not taking the book, not being allowed to take the book. But also she remembers looking over and seeing what she conceived as a star chart. Now, this is one of the things that came out in regression, that she eventually remembered, is she drew it out, the picture of the star chart. She says she remembers it exactly. Mm-hmm. And later on down the road, like years down the road, we find Zeta Reticuli. Mm-hmm. We find that whole cluster. And it matches the star system with Zeta Reticuli in it.
And she even knew like the well-used routes for trade and stuff from that chart as well, right?
Yeah, she I believe she remembered something about things like that.
Right.
I'm referring to notes as I go. So because this is Einstein did something wonderful one time. He said, you know, there's a thing called a pen and paper, and that way I can write it down and I don't have to remember it anymore. And right. I'm a firm believer in that.
Absolutely.
So I know where my information could be found. So, so I keep going there. So Yeah, she remembers, you know, some what I guess, you know, if you use a specific route all the time, you have it noted and you know, you highlight it and say,
sure,
okay, here's the 7-Eleven, you know, and here's the gas station, you
post
know,
and office so, here.
Yeah, yeah, she kind of remembers things like that. I don't know if, where, you know, Earth was, if that was labeled 7-Eleven, but you know, it seems like it sometimes. So yeah, she does remember some things like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's, you know, I think that's just kind of a side note because, you know, really, what are we going to do? How are we going to follow that? You know,
I mean, well, sure. But I mean, I just thought it was really cool information.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not only did she duplicate this chart that would be discovered a number of years later by our scientists, but she was able to, you know, relay some information about how it was used and where some key things were, mm-hmm, on that chart. And I thought, wow, that is so brilliant. And to me, that's just incredible. Now, she also had some physical evidence on her dress, correctly?
Right. Yeah. She, when she got home, she reports that originally she went in and took off her dress. It was the infamous blue dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it in the closet. And then later that night, she gets up and she looks at it and it's torn. She says it's irreparable. So she throws it away. Well, while she was doing that, she noticed a pink powdery substance on the dress.
Mm-hmm.
So she throws it away. And then a little later she thinks, you know what? No, I'm going to save that. So she pulls it back out and saves it. So she had it. And then it got sent to a lab somewhere. And of course everything is inconclusive.
So. Right. Yeah. But still that's pretty profound to have picked up a substance that they couldn't identify. You know, to me, that again lends credibility to what their claim is. And, you know, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, for them to come out with this, it was complete havoc for them in a professional and personal manner. Because you don't, and that's why it's so hard to get witnesses to come forward. I think now it's less hard than it used to be, mm-hmm, but in those days, you were really just sabotaging your entire social status,
possible life.
Right. And they were a very progressive couple anyway, because they were a mixed race couple, which was very unheard of back then. So they were already, you know, pushing the envelope in so many ways, but then to have this experience on top of that,
it's like they need more attention drawn to them. Right.
Yeah. I mean, those poor people, you know, God bless them. I think I'm so amazed that they had the integrity and the and the will to continue forward, even knowing how damaging that would be to their, you know, to their entire standing in their communities. But they did, and they stuck to their story. They never wavered, right?
Yeah, there were some differences after Betty's regression started.
Mm-hmm.
There were some differences in the capture and the release. Catch and release part of the story, not a lot, but some sequences were changed around a little bit as well.
Okay.
But that's also where she remembered this. It was more of a hologram instead of a picture of the star route or whatever.
Sure.
the star map.
Yep.
She remembers it more as a 3D hologram, but this is where she remembers it and draws it.
Right.
So yeah, but you know, as for, yeah, they stuck to the story pretty solid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, but me being who I am, I have to say, you know, if you tell a story so many times, you start believing it yourself, even if it's true or not, you know,
well, there's that,
you know, dare I say, a liar knows his lies. You have to catch him outside of the lie to,
but eventually those things usually fold up. I mean, it's pretty tough
most of the time
to continue a lie, especially for so many years. But
yeah, and there's never been really any doubt, solid proof, doubt, Yeah. There's always doubt, but
there's never been any solid nothing that debunking. Says
no. This is the debunking stage right here. No, that never happened because of this, that, and the other.
Right.
Yeah, that's true too. So
yeah,
you know, and being since they're both gone now, you know, it's not like we can go back and talk with them and see what they, you know, they're doing 30 years later.
Still out there.
The dress is still out there in some lab somewhere.
Let's take a break, quick, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back to continue our discussion and to look into some more of this amazing phenomena of the abductions that seem to be happening around us. Mm-hmm. So far, I don't think they got me, but then again, I might have missed some time. Maybe you need
some regression therapy.
Yeah, I thought about it, but you know, it's one of those things I think I'm better off not knowing. All right, guys, we'll be right back. Okay, we're back, and we are having a wonderful discussion tonight. Don and I are going into the whole alien abduction phenomena that's been going on forever, and we've done a pretty good review of the Benny and Barney Hill story, which is probably one of the most famous abduction scenarios out there, and they experienced something incredible, and they came back with pieces of evidence that still stand and hold today. I don't think I've ever heard anybody successfully debunk their situation. And there's a lot of people that are convinced that they actually had an extraterrestrial experience. Mm-hmm. So we did spend some time talking about what could they want? What could they want? What could they, you know, what why would these super advanced people need to pull up samples? I mean, basically we're just walking samples, right? Because you know, it's like Michio Kaku said, you know, he, and I think he really phrased it pretty profoundly. He said, you know, you have to think about if there are aliens. He said they could be hundreds, thousands, or millions of years advanced to our civilization and our knowledge. And he said, you know, would we walk by an anthill and acknowledge the ants? You know, and most of us wouldn't. We just kind of pass it because they're such a lesser form of life. And, you know, so when you think about this, why would this civilizations who are so advanced need to stop and pull up people and do that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly a curiosity. So, yeah, Dr. Kaku has made that comparison. And you got to think, this advanced race, would they need to? Why would they need to? Couldn't they just, you know, if they're millions of years advanced, couldn't they just tricorder us from orbit or something, you know, go to like full Star Trek
and scanning the planet now, Captain?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know. It seems kind of odd that they would need to pull people up and do things to them,
right,
in order to, you know, try to learn. But again, I don't pretend to know what millions of years of or thousands or hundreds of years of technology would mean. Perhaps there's nothing like the, you know, the old fashioned, you know, scoop and sample. I don't know.
Gosh.
I don't even know what that means. I just kind of made it up. But I was going to say something else and I forgot it now because I said something so stupid it knocked it out of my head, which has been known to happen here, ladies and gentlemen, on the show. But so we spent some time discussing that. I did want to pull up, I've been kind of researching this because it's curious. I imagine it's possible that there are many people out there that don't really know that they've been abducted.
Mm.
So I found some articles that seem to indicate that there are certain signs that you can look for. And I'd like to share those. What do you think of that, Don? Is that right?
Yeah.
Or did you have anything else you wanted to address first?
You know, I wanted to mention, though, that, please, you know, a lot of these abduction stories, or at least people who claim to have been abducted, seem to have some kind of an implant. Oh, now, I've covered implants before on a show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's weird because I don't recall ever hearing anything about Betty and Barney Hill having an implant. But we know that these stories go back quite a ways where people do have implants. And I mean, you know, 60s, possibly earlier. I mean, depending on, you know, we can only start with the Betty and Barney Hill story because that's really the only one that was, you know, the history of it.
Yeah.
You know, so you can only really start there. You can say, you know, yeah, I read this one, but this is the first one. And I don't remember them doing that. So I wonder why, though. I mean, it's like, you know, catch, tag, release. You know, we do that to all the animals on the face of the earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it would make sense that, and you know, and a lot of these implants are supposedly to keep them in contact with the aliens, to keep in contact with their, you know, specimens, mm-hmm. and to watch how they grow through their life or whatever that may be, or, you know, to know exactly where they are, like a GPS, you know, oh, there they are. We need to go snatch them from that party over there. And nobody will remember a thing. But I don't ever recall Betty and Barney Hill or even Travis Walton having an implant of some type. So I don't know why.
So I wonder, you know, in the case of the implants, I know it, that it's been something that's been discussed for a long time, but I don't know that it's ever been, until more recently, that it's ever been really embraced by the entire UFO community, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it was kind of a fringe idea, and now the interesting thing is I've looked into that a little bit myself, and the neat or curious part of this, I don't know if it's neat or not, that people are tagged, but I assume that, you know, I like to believe, ladies and gentlemen, and I could be completely wrong, but I like to believe that if these really advanced civilizations are here, that hopefully they have our best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to believe that anyway. I'm not sure what to think about, you know, the terraforming ideas some people have about these mm-hmm. extraterrestrial visitors and stuff, that they're, you know, wiping out life systematically on our planet to terraform it for themselves. But I like to believe that they're probably here for good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand their methodologies, but then again, maybe I'm not meant to, whatever that case is. But I think most of the people that have had implants have noticed them first. Like, you know, I get this weird lump, and generally they find these weird bumps on their body where there wasn't one before, but they know they've had situations.
Oh, my God.
What?
I just realized I have a weird bump on the back of my heel that I haven't had before. I was wondering, I was poking at it earlier.
Now, Don, what did you see the other night?
No.
I've had a UFO.
I have, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
An unidentified object, yes.
That's a UFO. Yeah.
Yeah, that strictly.
Yeah. Well, it's unidentified, but it's no, certainly.
I had this before that. I haven't had it for very long.
But well, maybe they just revealed themselves to you now because you're already tagged.
Maybe it's just infected now and it needs to be cut out. Who knows? But no, I'm sorry, weird correlations. And so you said that. And the ankle behind the ankle it seems to be a popular spot for something like that. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, Don might be tagged, ladies and gentlemen. And so we know they know what we're doing here in the portal.
I'm pretty sure that anyhow.
Yeah. But, so I think in most cases people notice there's something there and then go get it checked. And that's when they find these implants. Now, the interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that according to what I understand about these implants, and they don't really look like anything more than just a large, like a large rock.
Yeah.
Which would
be stone, a pebble.
A stone, like a pebble. Yeah. They're very, very tiny things. But what's interesting is that these foreign bodies are in the human body, but the body has no rejection of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the normal tissues of the body just graft onto them as if they were part of the whole biology. Which is very unusual because, you know, and I'm here to tell you, having, you know, had my knee worked on several times mm-hmm. and screws and staples put into it, that's not common. That, you know, the body generally rejects a foreign body
right.
within it, but for some reason these implants don't have that issue at all. The body just absorbs it as part of itself. And will grow tissues around and you know, embed it with its own growth. So it is very curious, and I've heard about some tests of the materials used in some of them. Am I right, Don, that they don't come up as known elements?
Right. That's right. As a matter of fact, I think it was Lear, Doctor. Oh, what's his name? Sorry, I'm.
It's all
right. Dr. Roger Lear.
Okay.
He's removed several what have been termed as alien implants, and he's had them examined, and they've come back as not of this earth.
Well, there you go. And that's very, very peculiar. Now, I've heard some of the mainstream ideas to those, and they are so incredibly far-fetched and stupid. I've heard that a micrometeorite might have just hit that person.
Oh, gosh.
I've heard that. Seriously, that's one of the ideas they're peddling out there to try to...
Smart dust. Right. It's smart dust.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, yeah.
Never go full conspiracy.
Yeah. That's what they've said, though. I mean, there's people trying to debunk all this, saying, well, it could just be that a meteorite fell down and hit them. But the people don't, I mean, they'll notice a mark. Most often they have no scarring at all, but they'll notice like a raised bump and like, where the hell did that come from? Well, if a meteorite hit your arm, ladies and gentlemen,
I don't think you'd be wondering much.
You wouldn't have any question that a meteorite hit your arm and embedded into your tissue. I don't care who you are. I feel it when I get a little freaking micro wood splinter. Are you serious? You're going to get, it's like you get a sliver and you swear to God you're dying.
Yes.
So you think a micrometeorite could hit you and you wouldn't notice?
Yeah.
I don't know what these people smoke on that other side of the fence there, but it's got to be some good stuff is all I'm thinking, because how do you get there? And these are educated people that are coming up with these ideas, and it's the tenacity that they try to hang on to their paradigm with that enables them to use such really screwed up logic. But yeah, I think the implants are important to discuss as well, because that is something that's come up many, many times in all of these scenarios. But it is curious that Benny and Barney didn't have addressed that, but maybe they just weren't tagged.
Maybe
they got everything they needed. There was no reason to monitor them. And so maybe the same thing for Travis. I don't know. But how to tell you've been abducted? We got about, we only got a few minutes left of the show. No, we got about 10, 15 minutes, I think, or maybe 20. I want to go through this list because I think it's important to let people know. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering if you've been abducted, you can look for these signs. And I don't know. This is coming from Needorama.com, and they're saying, believe it or not, there's a support group called Abduct Anon for people who believe they've been kidnapped by extraterrestrials. Are you about to be abducted by aliens and subjected to medical experiments? Or has it already happened? Here's some signs that Abduct Anon and other UFO groups say you should be on the watch for. At bedtime, you have chronic insomnia, and you hear a tapping or humming noise just as you're dropping off to sleep.
That's me.
Next one, you may dream of aliens and UFOs directly, or you may dream of vaguely mysterious beings, but remember none of the details except one. The beings had very large eyes. You have the feeling you're being watched, especially as you're dropping off to sleep, or you wake up in the middle of the night because you think someone or something is watching you. You may even see one or more shadowy figures standing around the bed staring at you. Sounds an awful lot like a haunting, really. You sleepwalk. You've gone to sleep in one place and woken up in another with no explanation for how it happened. And alcohol is not involved. The first few seconds or minutes after awakening, you are paralyzed and can't move your body. Huh. So then when you wake up, you find small drops of blood on your pillow. And there's no explanation for how they got there. I think that's also true for
like brain aneurysms
or fleas. So another one, if you're on the road, your car breaks down unexpectedly with no explanation, often soon after you've spotted a UFO. Did we not just discuss that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You pull over to the side of the road, and the next thing you remember is standing next to or driving your car. Hours or even days may have passed, but you have no memory of what happened in the meantime. Your broken down car is now running again, and you have no explanation for that either. Can you imagine what they could accomplish in days? It could be a totally different animal at that point. You could be like a whole new build.
We can rebuild him.
Yeah, exactly. You have the sense that you have levitated to pass through solid objects, such as doors or the roof of your car, or perhaps as aliens lifted you onto their spaceship. Now, during the day, these are things to look for. You see smoke, fog, or haze at a time and a place for which there's no logical explanation. You have an unexplainable, irresistible desire to walk or drive to a particular location where you believe something familiar yet unknown will soon happen. You may experience a heightened level of anxiety in the days leading up to this strange happening. Sounds like Close Encounters, right?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was thinking
potatoes. I need more potatoes.
Yeah, and then him driving out there. Yeah,
yeah, he's going exactly out the Devil's Tower.
Yep. Yep.
So physical changes. You begin to get frequent nosebleeds and don't know why. You have unexplained soreness or stiffness or a mysterious rash on one or more of your body parts, and may also be evidence that your skin has been scraped and a sample taken. You find new scars on your body where you have no idea how they got there, and alcohol is not involved. And when you go in for your annual physical, your doctor finds strange, tiny probes implanted in your body, which would be just what we just discussed. Mm-hmm. What's up, doc, is this section. It says you have a dim memory of a very probing, hint-hint, medical exam conducted against your will. You may also have memories of having your head placed in some kind of restraining device, or long needles are inserted into your nostrils or ears, or something drills into your skull. These sensations may be accompanied by a burning smell. Human medical examiners who look over you after the fact find no sign that such procedures had taken place. After the fact, there may be evidence that the scene of your abduction has been staged to look as if nothing happened, but a few incorrect details might be noticeable. For example, if you went to bed wearing pajamas and you wake up naked or dressed in only underwear with the pajamas folded up neatly and placed at the foot of the bed,
wow.
You may even wake up in the wrong room of the house, or if you are abducted from your car, you may find that items in your car or in the trunk have been moved around. Your ability to remember things suddenly becomes stronger, and you may even develop psychic powers that enable you to see events in the future. You suddenly get a sense of a mission, or the feeling that you have been chosen by the aliens for an important purpose, but you don't know what it is. This often replaces feelings of low self-esteem that you had before the encounter. Another one is electronic appliances behave strangely when you pass by. Computers crash, clocks lose time, radio and TV reception is distorted, and streetlights go dark as you walk under them. You develop a new phobia of some kind. Did you suddenly become afraid of spiders, heights, enclosed places, crowds? The aliens may be to blame. You become obsessive, compulsive, or develop addiction you didn't have before. You become less trusting of other people, especially doctors, police, or other authority figures than you were before. And you have an uncomfortable urge to take vitamins. They want us healthy, after all. Nobody wants an unhealthy
lab specimen.
Yeah, specimen. You develop an interest in UFOs, astronomy, or physics, and conversely, an aversion to being around other people when they are discussing these subjects. That's odd. And if this topic has unsettled you, fear not. The St. Lawrence Agency of this font is like miniature. Altamont Springs, Florida sells a UFO abduction insurance policy.
Oh my God.
that pays out $10 million with double indemnity payment of $20 million if the aliens insist on conjugal visits. Cost $19.95 plus $3 for same-day shipping.
Wow.
The policy pays out $1 per year for 10 million years or until the death of the policyholder, whichever comes first. Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, I don't know. Wow. I mean, most of that was tongue-in-cheek, I think. But
I hope so.
Now I have another one that's, let's see how this coordinates. So this is one that's supposedly symptoms of alien abduction. And this is coming from Love to Know, paranormal.lovetoknow.com. And it talks, let's see, it talks about how you can know. And one is loss of time and memory. Mm-hmm. So it talks about the Betty and Barney Hill case. Their first clue something was wrong was when they finally got home, neither could remember approximately 2 hours of time on their drive. Mm-hmm. The drive took much longer than expected, and neither knew why. And they, when they tried to recall it, they couldn't until they underwent regression hypnosis. As with the Hills, many abducted alien, alleged alien abductees first realize something is wrong when they realize they can't recall a period of a few hours or up to a few days. Mm-hmm. That time is simply gone. Natural causes of losing time or memory. Of course, time loss doesn't mean you're abducted by aliens. There are many other causes for time and memory loss, including drug and alcohol use, dissociative fugue states, dementia, to name a few. Sleep paralysis is another one. Apparently, the abductees believe that they were abducted from their beds while they slept. I don't know. So sleep paralysis, I don't think that needs a lot of explanation. Logical explanations for sleep paralysis. Well, anyway, this isn't a show about sleep paralysis, but dreams of alien abduction. For some, their first time, the first sign they were possibly abducted by aliens are dreams of an abduction. These dreams may have hyper-real quality to them, causing the dreamer to believe they are experiencing a repressed memory. In some cases, these dreams are recurring nightmares, causing terror that extends into the waking state. Then there's physical changes. You have unexplained scars, contusions and abrasions that you don't recall getting, inexplicable aches and pains. God, that's happening to me all the time. sensory changes in vision, hearing, sense of smell, and sense of taste. Tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. Finding an unexplained possible implant under the skin, such as a piece of metal. Nosebleeds or blood on your pillow, when you wake in the morning. Psychological traits are potentially several psychological characteristics of people who believe they were alien abductees, including New Age beliefs, regular sleep paralysis with hallucinations, tendency for false memory recall, high levels of absorption of and familiarity with alien abduction narrative. However, as the publication points out, it's hard to know whether these traits arise because someone was abducted by aliens or whether they pre-existed the abduction and therefore contributed to a false belief in abduction had occurred. Hmm. Very wild. I don't know. Nothing earth-shaking coming out of these. There was one more that I opened, and we'll just hit this one, and then this is the same stuff. It's all the same stuff, so I didn't find anything new here from the first and second one. So I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, those are some things I guess you can look for. If that sounds like it might have happened to you, or you say, boy, I can relate to all of that, then you might want to get in touch with MUFON. I mean, seriously, because they do have resources that can help people if you believe you've been abducted. Yep. I don't disbelieve that this is going on. I'm not sure what the hell they're after, but they seem to be pretty adamant on checking into our state of being for some reason. What are your thoughts on this, Don?
You know, I don't know. Ever the skeptic, you know, looking for some kind of answer to in this journey of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things to get rabbit holed on and go down this way, and then you get to a left, and you're like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so hard to, you know, pin down one thing. You know, you've mentioned, you know, mental disabilities, things that may be wrong that sure. you need to look at. You know, I mean, one of the first things you want to look at is, well, you know, is it my medication that's doing this to me? You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, undiagnosed things as well, you know, schizophrenia, you know, is possibly, you know, a contributing factor. You know, there's just a million different things that can be going wrong in your life, or, you know, misdiagnosing. And the worst thing you can do is self-diagnose. You know, so that's not to say it doesn't happen. It just means that there's a lot of factors that, you know, go into, you know, discerning what happened. You know, so, you know, I hope if you have been, and, you know, that it's something that you've overcome, or at least come to terms with. If not, you know, then I hope, you know, you're looking for some help, because, you know, whether it's resolved or unresolved, you know, there's always got to be something out there for you. You know, as you mentioned, Abduct Anonymous. So there's always people to reach out to, if you believe that's happened.
Yes.
Me, no, I don't believe I have, even though I we'll have this see. Weird lump.
We'll see. The story unfolds, ladies and gentlemen. You have to stay tuned, and we'll look into Don's progressing condition.
Right along with my strange Lovian disorder.
Yeah, well, that's something for a whole nother show.
So, you know, I mean, ever the skeptic, but you know what? It can become very believable to me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, those are a bit of a journey through this phenomenon. And again, the Paranormal Portal is never going to be an exhaustive summary of these things, because quite honestly, there aren't answers. There's just ideas and theories as to what could be going on. But it's what we love talking about. And I hope you enjoy being a part of this journey with us. We'd love for you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. We'd love for you to follow us on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, PORTL. And we'd love for you to find our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our videos there. We've got hundreds of them up, and we're continuing them every day. 7 days a week, there's a new video being put up. We do live streaming as well. If you want to become a part of that community, you can take part in the chat room as well. Great people, great conversations. But thank you so much for checking out this show. And, oh, the YouTube, by the way, is youtube.com/paranormalportal. Paranormal Portal, I should breathe before I say things. But anything in closing, Don?
Don't forget, if you would like to correspond with us, it's paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can send us email there. Or you can, like Rent said, you know, you can join us in the chat pretty much any night of the week.
Any night of the week. 7 days a week, 7 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube. There's always a portal happening. So wherever you are, we hope you've liked and enjoyed this journey, subscribed, and share news about it. If you've got friends that are into the paranormal and you think they might enjoy the show, we'd sure love to meet them as well. So thank you all. We love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.